Before we get into tonight's lesson, which will be number 3, I hope you can get that ready. This will be the evening session message 3. Christ, the reality of all positive things. Christ, the reality of all positive things. Anyway, before that, there are two matters that I would like to fellowship with you. Maybe we'll take the first 15 or 20 minutes. And these are a continuation of the fellowship that we've had before. One thing is, well, the first thing is concerning our personal fellowship with the Lord. I have a little more burden over this, so I'd like to bring something more to you. This morning we gave you, we mentioned 3 steps, or is it 4? Maybe 4. 4 things. I think we told you that when you spend time with the Lord, you need to set your mind, right? Set your mind. You need to open. Of course, setting the mind, we said, by especially calling on the name of the Lord or singing or some whatever works. Open, that is to pray something, to say something to the Lord, to be able to focus our being. And then the key, the center, which this is what I want to really speak about more, is pray read. And in the course of our pray reading, we will need to, normally, confess. And don't be bothered whether on any particular day, nothing comes to for confession. Don't think, oh, that wasn't a good one. Just you leave that to the Lord to guide you. Now, some of you, if you've been with us in the Northeast, actually in different places now, we've covered this. I don't think we touched upon this last year here. We actually have developed a little 7-step guidelines of some fellowship like this. And I thought it might be helpful to mention this to you all. Incidentally, I'm not sure if you're all familiar with this website. Probably most of you are, but maybe not all. That is ageturners.com. Okay, how many of you have heard of ageturners.com? Okay. I don't know if you have an account there or if you've gone there recently. some of us had the burden to produce some weekly podcasts for this website. And so there, when you open the page on the top right, you'll see the advertisement for the podcast. You just click there, and there's anywhere from a 10 to 15 minute little message. And usually it's up for a week. The last one was up for 2. That's probably because of the summer training. But it's usually up for a week, but they are archived. So if you have an account, then you can go to the archives. Now, I'm mentioning this just generally, firstly, that, you know, you can avail yourself of that. There's some fellowship there. Of course, not just this. On the site, there are a lot of things, a lot of conferences. I believe was the East Coast Conference put up there? I mean, the training? I think that's up there from last year. And so these messages most likely will end up there. But specifically concerning the podcasts, we had some burden. We do it generally this way. We do a series, and the one currently right now, I think, is the 3rd in a series on the matter of the exercise of the Spirit. And we point out there that the exercise of the Spirit is not just what we do in the meetings. It's not just the release of the Spirit, but then there is a fine distinction between the exercise of the Spirit and the release of the Spirit. So we get into that, and it's the 3rd installment now. It's going to be probably at least 10, maybe 12. So it'll run through the summer. Don't be distracted by the voice that's on there. Anyway, the topic is good. Okay. Then if you go to the archives, you will find at least 2 other series. One of them is on preaching the gospel on the campuses. That's by Brother Tom Getz. I really would recommend that you could listen to that. I think there are 11 installments there. But again, you could download them 10 minutes or 12 minutes. You could hear them on the go here and there. And then earlier in the year, we did one on the practice of personal fellowship. And this is why I'm talking about this. I think we had seven or eight, probably seven, seven installments on the practice of fellowship. So the things that we mentioned these couple of mornings are there, but actually quite expanded. So if you'd like some, if you're interested, you can go there. If you have an account, you can go into the archives and find that fellowship. And in one of those, we present this. And this is what I want to show you tonight. Some of you know about this, right? C, P, P, C, C, T, P. Okay. What is this? This is, first, who knows? Call. Calling on the name of the Lord. Next, pray. Okay. Next, same thing. I'll just write this. Pray, read. Then, same thing. Confess. Then, consecrate. Then, giving thanks or thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. And finally, petition. Okay. I'd like to repeat what I said this morning. These are not meant to be mechanical. This is just to be taken as some helps, some guidelines of even, you might say, even a menu. Things that we incorporate. They are part of our personal fellowship with the Lord. And it doesn't mean that you have to go one by one, you know. Okay. However, we have had times when we have a group of young people and we even assign times. We have a 7-minute version for beginners and we have a 10-minute version, right? You could turn this into a 20-minute version or a 30-minute version. And especially what you expand, we would expect that this is the part that you expand, the prayer reading. And the prayer reading, as I told you, takes in the confession. And then as you're prayer reading, very often it will incorporate the consecration. And then as you're consecrating, it takes in the thanksgiving. But the centerpiece is the prayer reading. And we want you to learn how to pray over the Word in such a living and personal and intimate way. And actually, it's through this kind of prayer reading that you receive the Lord speaking. You can pray read and get supply. And very often we do. Yet, you get no speaking of the Lord. It's possible. So it's like going to the gas station. You get filled up. So you got the energy to go that day. But there's no intimacy at the gas station. There's no fellowship at the gas station. You understand what I mean? You go and get, it's like getting your battery recharged. Hey, that's good. Keep doing that. You need that. But what about the intimacy? What about all the things he wants to talk to you about? You know, young people, there are things in our lives. I think I mentioned the other day, I got saved when I was 7 years old. I consecrated myself to the Lord. I was with a group of believers who really loved the Lord, not in the Lord's recovery yet, among the brethren. They really loved the Lord. They really helped me. We used to preach the gospel. We used to preach the gospel open air. We used to go out. We had these things. We'd gather all the young people from the neighborhood and lots of things. And anyway, we really had a heart for the Lord. Then when I was 14, through my sister, I came in contact with the Lord's recovery in Los Angeles back in 1972. And I came into the Lord's recovery. I learned to touch my spirit. I learned to pray, read the Word. I got like a little glimpse of God's eternal purpose. I mean, when I compare what I see now, and I can't say I see everything, but what I compare now to what I saw then, it was like a speck. But that was enough to change my life. That was enough to give up nearly every association I was with before. I made a change. I had to come into the Lord's recovery. Some of you, as you're growing up, your tests come later. Our test came right at the beginning. Are we going to choose this way? There was a price to pay. And I don't mean mine was any more than yours. Eventually, we all have to pay some kind of price. Sooner or later, you have to choose. You have to decide whether you're going this way because you're going this way, not because of mom and dad or grandma or whoever. And you know what happened? Eventually, more tests came. And this has happened, that even the ones later on who brought me, the ones who shepherded me, eventually, they decided to go another way. Then what? Then what do you do? That everyone that you trusted, everyone you respected, not everyone I shouldn't say, but the ones that are so close, and they decide to go. So, wait, what did you tell me? Is what you said before true? Is this really the Lord's recovery? I had to decide for myself. I remember I was there in Irvine for a period of 30 days. For 30 days, I remember. It was a turmoil. It was just, I mean, things were going. And you didn't know who to believe. Because you respected these ones. They said, nah, no, this is not the way. You respected these. They said, this is the way. You know what I had to fall back on? This. Because when I was 12, I started to have a daily time with the Lord. I was shepherded into a personal fellowship with the Lord. So I remember there was a period of time, 30 days. Actually, it was in July of that year. From July, like the second week in July to about the second week in August. Every day, I'd find a time. Not my morning watch time. You know, that in those days we didn't have the term even, morning revival. It's morning watch. So I'd have my morning watch, but that was not the time to pray about this. You know, there's something specific here. We should practice all these to get into fellowship with the Lord. Then, once we're in Him, once we're in His presence, then pray for things. Don't just come to pray for things. You know, the Bible talks about praying in the name of the Lord. So that means in His person. Well, you got to get into Him first. That's why some of you shared this morning and yesterday morning. You were going to pray for something and the Lord said, not now. And you know you're going to bring up? Not now. Because the Lord's jealous. He knows you have that problem. He knows there's that situation. He even knows about that person that should be saved. But He doesn't care about that right now. He just wants to have fellowship with you. He wants to know that He is the most important one. You know, we have a song. What is this? Lord, we love You for Yourself. Not for what You give or do. Okay, up to there. But, you know, we sing that. But you know what? Sometimes the Lord gives us something. And we're just very happy with what He gives us. And the Lord's... We're like little children. He gives us something. He does something for us. He does something to us. He does something around us. And, oh, we're so happy. And we forget about Him. It's like those, you know, the lepers? The 10 Samaritan lepers? They were where? At a distance. They said to Jesus, right? Son of David! Have mercy on us. And He saw them. He says, go show yourself to the priests. And so they go. And then they get cleansed. They see each other. Then one comes back. You know where he ends up? At the Lord's feet. And the Lord says, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? You know the other 9, did they get their prayer answered? They did. But their answered prayer resulted in them being further away from God than before. But one, he got his prayer answered, and his answered prayer brought him into an intimate contact with the Lord. You know how? By thanksgiving. He came back to give thanks. Sometimes the Lord does stuff for us. We don't even say thank you. We're just happy with the answer. And that becomes a substitute for Christ. You know, in Colossians, there's a big point. Christ is everything. The Colossians took things as substitutes for Christ. Philosophies, all sorts of things. So, you know, sometimes at a distance, you're calling out to the Lord like those lepers. Maybe the Lord won't answer. You know why? Because He knows if He doesn't answer, you'll keep calling on Him. If He answers, you may take the answer and then leave. You know, when I saw this, I decided to say to the Lord, Lord, don't answer all my prayers. I don't know what I'm praying sometimes. Lord, You know. I'm going to trust You to answer or not answer. I'm still going to tell You what I want because this is fellowship. You're my friend. I love You. And so I'm going to tell You what I want, but Lord, I'm going to leave it to You and I'm going to trust You and I'll never be stumbled whether You answer or not. I hope you would make the same kind of decision. Anyway, during those days, 30 days, my head was spinning and all I could do was retreat to the presence of the Lord. And then I decided, I saw a message that Brother Lee gave and I prayed the same prayer. Say, Lord, if I am a human being, I must be a Christian. If I am a Christian, I must be a Christian in the Lord's recovery. And if I'm in the Lord's recovery, I must go all the way with You, Lord. So I said this kind of prayer to the Lord. I was 19. Big words. But they meant something to me. And I gave the Lord a consecration that day that I would continue on. And by the Lord's mercy, it hasn't been perfect. It hasn't been perfect. There have been things along the way. The Lord knows. The Lord knows. But He's kept me. And you know a great reason, saints? Because of this. I don't mean this mechanical thing, but I mean fellowship. Having fellowship with the Lord. Storms will come. Things will come. They will. We will be tested. We should be tested. We should be tested. But we need to have the personal fellowship with the Lord. We love the church life. Actually, that's where we're going to end tonight. We're going to end tonight in body consciousness. The enjoyment of Christ should result in loving the church, loving the body. That's very clear, actually. We're going to come to that in these verses in Colossians chapter 2. But brothers and sisters, we need to develop a daily personal fellowship with the Lord. It's yours. And you just touch Him in any way, in every way. You know, I think I mentioned this morning, it's also in the podcast. We mentioned the example of training wheels. Use it. Use it if you like. If you don't like, just don't use it. It's okay. We're not promoting this. What we're promoting is fellowship with the Lord. And again, I say the centerpiece is pray reading. Learn to pray read. Learn to pray the Word. Learn to personalize the Word. And as you're pray reading, the Lord may take you places. This is where you'll see. As you're praying one verse, let's just an example. I think we had these verses. We used these verses this morning. Where's the one I'm looking for? Okay. We used 2:6 this morning, 6 and 7, right? Is that? Okay, as therefore you receive, right. Okay, as therefore you have received. So you're praying, reading this verse, and as you're praying over this verse, another verse comes up. Where'd that come from? That came from either a meeting, reading, memorization. Actually, all the memorization that you're doing now, in these few days, I tell you, you know what you're doing? You are storing up ammunition for the Spirit. The Spirit will be able to speak to you, even whether you got it word for word or not. That's not the point. Of course, it's good for you to get it word for word. But a storehouse within you of speaking, because you know what? The Bible is the language of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit speaks Bible. The more Bible you have in you, the more the Spirit can speak to you. If not, you will be a yes or no, green light, red light Christian. You know that game? Red light, green light? Did you ever play that when you were a kid? Red light, green light, one, two, three. Okay. With you, young believers, very possible. All they know is yes, no. Good feeling, bad feeling. Good feeling, bad feeling. So a good feeling, you go. Bad feeling, stop. Is that all the fellowship you have with the Lord? Your fellowship should be expanded. You should know, you know, as children grow up, parents, yes, no. At the beginning, no means no, and that's it. But as you get older, that's not good enough. You have to let your children know why. You know, the Lord would like to let you know why. He'll tell you why. Why not? How? Bible. If you have more of the Word within you, the Lord can speak to you more. So I just want to echo what the brothers shared. Read the Bible. Just read. Just read. Just read. And read it like whether you feel like it or not. Just have the habit. Just read. Know the Scripture. And I mean every verse. Just read it. And it'll take 5 or 6 times before, especially some Old Testament portions, before you know what's going on. But I tell you, it doesn't matter. Of course, when we started, we didn't have the recovery version of the Old Testament with notes. You could stop and find out what it means. I remember the first time I read through, "Thou shalt not boil a kid in its mother's milk." I said, "Why is this a verse?" I felt like, "Lord, I don't understand. I mean, amen, but why is this worthy of being a verse?" Oh, and there were others that I didn't. I saw that. Why is this in here? I said, "Lord, I don't even like to talk about that. But it's in there." Anyway, I read it the following year. I read it again. Oh, mother's milk. Boil a kid. Didn't know. But that year, listen, I was in the ministry station in Anaheim. I was living in Orange County. And Brother Lee shared what it means. I said, "Oh, I know this verse." Actually, every serving one must know. Not just serving one. If you're college students, if you're going to share the gospel with someone, you better know what this verse means. Do you know what this verse means? Gloria, do you know? No? You have to study. I'm not going to tell you. But it's really so practical. Know the Word. You have to know the Word. Prayer reading. Okay, just one more thing about this. In prayer reading, follow the anointing. That's the key. Follow the anointing. As you're praying, and you come to this phrase, "As therefore you have received," so you pray, "Oh, thank you, Lord, I've received. Hallelujah, I've received. Oh, therefore, I've received. Oh, I'm not so poor, I have received." And you can even get a little excited. "I'm a receiver. Lord, make me a good receiver. I want to be the best receiver. Amen." And then you keep going, and it's not as wet as it was about a minute ago. Do you understand? It's like you're still pumping, but it's a little dry now. Just stop. Keep going. Okay, then you just keep going. "Christ Jesus the Lord." Amen. "Oh, Christ Jesus the Lord. He's the Lord." But you keep saying that and still not wet. Still not flowing. Keep going. And then "walk in Him." Oh, walk. Oh, when you hit the word "walk," something inside feels good. Walk in Him. "Lord, walk. Lord, I receive, but I don't walk." This is my problem. Oh, Lord Jesus. I receive. I like to receive. My walk. My problem is not receiving. My problem is walking. Lord Jesus, forgive me. Even yesterday morning, I received. It was so good with you yesterday. Oh, but Lord, where I walked in the afternoon, where I walked last night. Oh, Lord Jesus, forgive me. So there's a lot. There's feeling there. So you stay there. It's like if you have an orange and you juice it. You just keep juicing until there ain't no more juice. When the juice is gone, stop trying to get juice. Grab another one and keep going until there's... You understand? But don't... One, two... No, there's a lot of juice still in that one. Keep going. Do you understand? So practice. Okay? I think tomorrow they'll have a longer time, right? For the rest of the week, you're going to go back to normal, and you'll have a little longer time to practice this. Okay? Amen. Okay, I just wanted to give you those few words. The second thing, I want to pick up from where Brother Paul left off this morning. I know he had a lot of feeling about this, but not enough time, and I don't have enough time either, and that is concerning the practical service. The college students, you must take part in the practical service in the church life. Take up the Levitical service. When I was in high school, I remember I was sitting there in the meeting. This was in New York now, because I was visiting Los Angeles. I wasn't living in LA. I was only there a month. And then I went back home. So anyway, I was in the church in New York. And one Friday night, one of the elders gets up and says, okay, downstairs there'll be a special meeting of all the nursery brothers and sisters. And would all the high schoolers go down because you're all on nursery now? That's how I joined the service. So there were about 20 high schoolers. We all got put on nursery with all the older sisters. That was my first service. I got perfected by these older sisters. My team was 15 people. No, sorry. My team was 12 people, 9 sisters, a few grandmas, a few middle-aged, a few young mothers, and 3 high schoolers, 1 sister, 1 brother, plus me, the third brother. Oh, every 3 weeks, we had to serve. And we got together, I remember, Saturday mornings at an IHOP. You have IHOPs down here? Pancake House? And so we go there, and we have breakfast together on a Saturday, and have fellowship. Have fellowship. And I never used to, some of these sisters, I never talked to them. I met them at our first service meeting. So it blended me with people that I would not normally talk to even. You know, we're high schoolers, very cliquish. We just ourselves, you know. But this pushed us a little bit. Oh, we got to be in the church life. And then we'd go back to someone's house and then we'd pray. And we'd pray over all the names of the children. Then we had practice and they showed us how to change diapers. I learned how to change diapers. Then, you know, it'd serve and of course I wasn't too much on diaper duty, but there is, you know, we had some boys and I got my turn. I changed my first diaper that way. Yeah. Actually, that little boy is one of our serving brothers now. Yeah. I can't tell you who it is. He hates this story. If you're ever in a meeting and you hear me say, you know, when I first learned how to serve, you just watch whoever is the reddest person in the room. That's because I always end up there. He hates this story. Sorry. Okay. Anyway, we were also I was on moving service. We had a moving service. I think the other churches had this too. We used to move a lot. I don't know why. But we moved. Saints moved. At least we had at least 1 or 2 moves a month. Saints were just moving all the time. And so anyway, we had a moving service. All brothers, we'd get together at like 7 o'clock in the morning at the meeting hall. And we'd pray read for an hour to get ready to move. It was tremendous. That's where I got to know all the middle-aged brothers and the college brothers. And it became a family. We got connected. You know, I was even on transportation service. We had a transportation service. New York's a big city. Some sisters, you know, in many places, there are sisters who come to the meetings by themselves, elderly sisters. Either they're widowed or their husbands are not saved. Anyway, we had a service to take them home. And so an older brother with a teenage brother got put on. And of course, I wasn't driving, but I would accompany the brother, right? We'd take the sister home, and then we'd come back, he'd drop me off. So I got to fellowship with one of the dads. And so I was on maintenance and gardening. And so, you know, just around the meeting hall and you know, actually, that was my first experience of the service in Eldon Hall. I think, Tony, where's Tony? Tony? Eldon Hall service Saturday morning. Just thinking about it, I just want to... Brother Lowell, were you there too at Eldon for a period of time? Briefly. Oh, my goodness. I'm going off. But tonight, we have longer time, right? Okay. I think I'm going to take it, though. So get ready. Strap in, because we're going for a while here. Okay. No, I won't. I'll try not to. But do we have time for a story? Okay. I got there. I was 14. I came into Los Angeles Friday afternoon. I knew nothing about anything. Lord's Recovery, never heard the name Witness Lee, Watchman Nee, local church. I never heard these terms. My sister came into the church life, and then she was in New York. Touched the church, came back to New York, moved to California. That was the thing those days. There was like a lot of young people from New York. Just they would listen to a tape and say, "I'm going there." I mean, serious. There were about 100 young people that we know from New York. They'd get a book. They'd read. I need this. Where is this? Where do they practice this? And they'd drop school and move cross country, leave their jobs and just go. What a hunger for the Lord. That's the people that I met. Brother Tony lived there. And it was, okay, anyway, Friday afternoon. Saturday morning, my brother-in-law took me to the meeting hall. 6:30 in the morning. That was the first time I saw pray reading. Group of about 10 brothers. Amen. I was like, ooh, this is... I mean, I was a Christian. I love the Lord. I like the Bible, but this was strange. So, but anyway, I went along and so on. Then we went to eat. Howard's? Is that the name of the... There was a diner. They had breakfast at Howard's. Then came back to the hall. When we came back to the hall, the hall's full. Not inside meeting, but outside and inside. Ranging chairs, vacuuming, outside gardening, sweeping. It was like, what is this? There were so many people on Saturday morning serving. But the service, there was an atmosphere of service that was heavenly. I mean, I don't know how to describe it. The saints were so happy. And brothers cutting, you know, trimming and fellowshipping. That's what struck me. I had the feeling, these Christians are serious. I was like, I was with Christians who loved the Lord, but not like this. They were like 24-hour Christians. I mean, they could keep talking about Christ after the meeting. That I never saw before. You know what I mean? I mean, they fellowshipped. And there was, and when they were serving, it was with their heart. I mean, that it just struck me. I was in awe that first morning. You know, Jacob, when he saw the dream in Genesis 28 of Bethel, he said, "This is a terrible place, for this is none other than the house of God." I had that feeling. And I had the sense, you know what came into my mind? Acts. I'm watching the book of Acts. These people are living Acts. So I was there for a month. I wrote back to my friends, my Christian friends, some of whom were my cousins, closer to me than my own siblings. I told them, I found heaven. It's in Los Angeles. That was my feeling. Because I told them, heaven cannot be better than this. No way. That was my first touch of the Lord's recovery. That service impressed me at least as much as the meetings of the church. Of course, then I went to a training. It was the Kingdom training. Brother Lee spoke on the matter. It's a book called The Kingdom. That was the messages there. I was 14. I didn't know what I was doing. He's talking about the Lord's coming from without. He's coming from within. I said, what? Anyway, but the service. I'm trying to impress you about the service of the saints with their heart. Sorry to say, today, generally, I don't know. I certainly don't know Athens. I don't know Atlanta. I don't know anywhere but my place. But on Saturday morning, the places that have meeting halls, you know who's there? Elderly sisters. Faithful. Cleaning bathrooms. Vacuuming. Where are you? Oh, I'm busy. Busy, busy, busy. I hope you could take this word to the Lord. Just consider. I'm not trying to rebuke anybody. But I tell you, you love Christ and the church? I tell you, taste something in the service. There is an experience of Christ reserved for serving ones, for people who serve. In the Old Testament, the serving priests get to eat the wave breast and the heave shoulder. You know what these are? You know, the animal was cut up, but the breast, I like breast. The breast was waved. It's called a wave offering. You know, it was actually waved before Jehovah. Like this, waved. And that symbolizes what? Oh, it died, but it's moving. How can something move that died? Well, it's resurrected. So it implies love in resurrection. And that's for the priests. Why is it, you know, okay, how many of you grew up in the church life? Raise your hand. Oh, majority. Okay. Think of some of your serving ones. Think of some of your serving ones in the past. Some of them, they couldn't speak that well. They were not that interesting in the meetings. But they served you your whole junior high and high school through college. And even you don't see them now, when you see them, they're so interested in you. They love you. They love you in resurrection. They're faithful. They endure. There's some places that we go. There in Dunloring, we have been serving with those brothers for 25 years. Still there. Still there. Of course, some now, only now, not directly related to, right? Brother Solomon, Brother Glenn. They have other responsibilities. But they were there for 25 years. Faithful. With always bringing crops of young people. Always bringing, always bringing, always bringing. Why could they do that? Then you serve them one summer school. You get mad at them. You can't say, you wonder, why these kids are terrible? And you forget, so were you! How could they do that? Wave breast. But that's a portion you know nothing of. It's reserved for serving ones. And then the shoulder, it's called the heave shoulder. It's also called the heave offering. So it's the shoulder, and they take before the Jehovah, they heave it. Well, you know what that is? Ascension. Strength in ascension. And it's the shoulder. You know what that is? It's to bear the weight. You know, with the shoulder, you bear the most weight. That's how you can bear responsibility. There are some faithful ones in all the churches who are bearing the responsibility for that church. Would you like a piece of that? Would you like part of that portion? That's an enjoyment of Christ. But no, other people don't know. It's reserved. That's why people can do this for so long and be faithful till the end. I hope young people enter into the church service in some way. It doesn't have to be cleaning on Saturday. Maybe in your place there's no meeting hall. You don't have that kind of need. But there are needs. Fellowship. Find out. I tell you, you will grow. And you will be built into the church life. It will be a blessing to you. And I would say, one area you can all take part in, if not officially, then unofficially, is the service with either the children or the young people. Consider. Take up the service with the high schoolers. You know, I really appreciate the fellowship the first morning about freshmen, but freshmen with a forward view, future freshmen. Take care of the high schoolers because they will become your partners very soon. My goodness, when I look in this room and I see how many of you we knew as junior hires, then here you are. Sometimes I see you in the meeting. I say, what are you doing here? You must be here with your mom. Your big sister. What are you doing here? But you're here. It goes so fast. Would you take care of them? Would you help them, so young even, seventh grade, lead them into the gospel at their capacity? I tell you, seventh graders are good gospel preachers. When they're newly saved in sixth or seventh grade, they're very fresh. You tell them, preach the gospel, they'll bring clusters. By the time they become college freshmen, I tell you, you will have a cluster going to Georgia State. You could have a cluster going to Georgetown. You could have a cluster going to UNC. From our own kids. We have to develop this. But we need people to take care of them. Even the children's meeting. And anyway, whether you understand it or not, in a sense, you're already serving them to a certain extent. Because you're a pattern. One way or another. Don't think the kids don't look at you. They are looking at you. They're looking at you. They're looking to see what you do. They see what time you come to the meeting. They see where you sit in the meeting. And they hear about, sometimes, where you go. You know, it gets around. And you know what they're doing? They're developing what they're going to be and they're going to do following certain patterns. We did this, didn't you? You watch and you see, oh, that's a college student in the church life. Mm-hmm. And they figure out what they can get away with to have one foot here, one foot there. One foot in the church life, one foot where? So they see, they observe, oh, okay. So, yeah, I don't want to be fully in the world. I just want to be like you. And they see that you do it. Quite a number of our college students do it. So it's doable. So you're a pattern anyway. Anyway, I hope you would take these words to the Lord. Amen? Amen. Okay, now we come to the lesson, to the message tonight. Let's read the scripture reading. Colossians chapter 2, let's just read 16 through 19, straight through. Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 through 19. Amen? Go.
Which are a shadow of the things to come. But the body is of Christ.
Amen. The title of this, do you all have it there? The title, let's read that together, of this message. Christ, the reality of all positive things. Up until now, we have seen Christ is the all-inclusive and extensive one. I want to say something about this word, extensive. That is, He is the what? He is the breadth and length and height and depth. He is not only inclusive, He is extensive. But yesterday I have to tell you, I have been enjoying the fellowship of all the brothers. The Lord is just speaking meeting after meeting. Is that your impression? Just meeting after meeting. It's like wave after wave. It's like stop already. I gotta just digest some, but it just keeps coming. Well, last night, Brother Colley actually touched these verses quite a bit. And in the course of his fellowship, he mentioned this about Christ being everything in the universe. Remember this? That is He everything in your universe, right? It's very practical. Well, this word, extensive, Christ is all-inclusive and extensive. I was thinking about this, and the Lord impressed me this way. How extensive is your Christ? Maybe we'll take it one step further. How far does your Christ extend to? I know when I was in high school, to some extent, my Christ was as extensive as the meeting hall. Because when I left the meeting hall, I was not in the realm of the experience of Christ. Well, not just the meeting hall. It's whenever I was with the saints. When I was with the saints, I would experience Christ. But then whenever I was alone, not so much. And actually, quite a number of us had this kind of experience. We had a church life like this. Very heavily weighted toward the corporate side. And then in 1977 and 1978, a turmoil arose. You know, in this morning as the brothers were sharing in Acts 20, Paul is talking to the Ephesian believers, and he tells them that after his departure, fierce wolves will come in. And he says, some will even rise up from among you, trying to take people after themselves. And you wouldn't believe that happened to us. That happened to us. And it affected the churches all over this country, all over North America. That actually happened. I couldn't believe it. At first, when this was happening, I thought, maybe they were right. Maybe this is not the church. Because remember, my church, my recovery was heaven. And when I thought that in this place, there's no problems. In this place, it's just perfect. It's wonderful. So then when I saw, wait a minute, there's a problem. Maybe this is not the church. Then I was helped to see, wait, look at the New Testament. Look at the New Testament. Nearly every book, including Colossians, was written because there was problems. The background was problems. You know, the Lord says in Matthew, I will build my church. That's the first time that the church is mentioned, Matthew 16. What's the next sentence? It's not even the next sentence. I will build my church and, I think it's the and the gates of Hades will not prevail again. I will build my church and gates of Hades, right next to it. I will build my church and the gates of Hades are right there. So young people, never get stumbled. If you see in your place there's some situation, you have to realize, as the Lord is building the church, oh, the gates of Hades are right there. Now, it's a promise. Listen, it's a promise. The gates of Hades shall not prevail. You can claim this. No matter what it looks like in your place, the gates of Hades will not prevail. I know that it looks like they're prevailing, but the Bible says they will not prevail. So you can take that as a promise. But you need to also take it as a warning. And that means the gates of Hades are going to try to prevail. So they're always there. So when you read the New Testament, problem, 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 problem. When I saw that, I was so encouraged. I said, oh, we're worthy to have problems. That means the Lord is building. If not, Satan would not waste his time. So I was very strengthened over that. Okay, well, I come back to this. How extensive is your Christ? At that time, after this turmoil passed, Brother Lee took a tour of nearly every local church in North America. He came here to Atlanta. He went to Miami. He went to New York. He went to Boston, New York, D.C. He did a circuit. These messages are today in a book called Life Messages. Not the life studies, but they're called Life Messages. You know, some of the messages, when you, early on, they would tell you the place that they were spoken. If you read chapter by chapter, you can see the whole thing. He would come back to Anaheim, give a conference. I was living in Anaheim at the time. And then he'd go out, Northwest, Bay Area, come back. Mountain States, come back. East Coast, and come back. If you can follow the whole circuit in the messages. You know what he was shared with us during that time? Mostly this. Reading the Bible, confessing our sins, and having personal morning watch with the background of abiding in Christ. This is mostly what he talked about, you know, in those messages. Why? Because we were so weighted this way in the corporate side. Our church life, we love the church so much that we were in meetings all the time, and then the meeting was over. We had an after meeting. We'd go to people's homes to continue the meeting and the fellowship. After the church meeting, maybe there were two or three homes that we would all go to and until midnight. And then come the next morning, corporate prayer reading. Everything was corporate, corporate, corporate. So, the personal side. When I was by myself, maybe not so much. And that's why, actually, that turmoil could have that effect. Because many of us were not grounded, or what the word that was used this morning is anchored. So, an eloquent speaker, or two, came in our midst. And all the young people just... we were so impressed with his speaking. The older saints, they had some misgivings. Their anointing bothered them. But the young people, almost all carried away. Why? We lack this. We lacked the extensive Christ. So I would ask you again, how extensive is your Christ? How far does he reach? You know, I mean, since I was 12 years old, I was going to trainings and conferences like this. How extensive after the conference is your Christ? Does it last a week? I rode the church life young people roller coaster for many years. Any of you on it before? The conference high, and after the conference, whoa. And sometimes the high would last, oh, maybe a week, maybe two, but the longer it would last, the crash was maybe harder. I'd just like to know, do any of you know what I'm talking about in this area? Okay. And after a while, you get really tired of it. After a while, some of us had the feeling, I don't know if I want to go to another conference, because it's a tease. It's a tease. You feel like he's so real, and how many times do you consecrate? Oh, praise the Lord, I'll never be the same. Yes, you will. And yes, you are. And I myself, Lord, from now on, I don't know how many times I said that. I stopped saying that. Lord, from now on, every day, I want to, you know, and you know what? It's genuine. Please say that. Please go ahead and say that. If that's in your heart. But I don't trust it. And don't trust that. You know what you need to trust? The extensive Christ. Your Christ must extend past the training. Your Christ must extend past the conference. Your Christ has to extend until you get that C minus. Is your Christ that extensive? You're doing fine. C minus. Your whole world caves in. There was a brother. He was with us when I was in college. A straight A's. Straight A's. He took one summer course, which was like a nonsense course, and he got an A minus. Oh, he was just like, oh. It was after, I think, his sophomore year. How extensive is your Christ? When the first thing that doesn't go your way, is that as far as your Christ extends? He extends as far as everything is for me. Does he reach as far as that flat tire? Does he reach as far as that relationship? How extensive is your Christ? Has he extended himself into that relationship? Some of us struggle with this. We're wondering, how can I fit Christ into this relationship? You know what? Christ is extensive, but sometimes he will not extend himself into that relationship. And you have to come to grips with that. How far does your Christ extend? He's all extensive. Let's come to the outline. Let's read one. The all-inclusive Christ
is the reality of all the positive things in the universe.
A.
Christ is the body, the substance, and the reality of all the shadows. As such, he must be the reality of our daily, weekly, monthly, and yearly endurance.
Oh, Paul was, what a writer Paul was. This is incredible. We read these things in chapter 2. Let no one judge you in eating and drinking. Eating and drinking, how often do you do it? Daily. Actually, several times a day. Then he says, Christ is the body of that shadow. The body of that shadow. So, in our daily life, we have shadows. And this is a shadow. Of course, we don't have the strong enough light here. Oh, there's a little shadow. Okay, little shadow. So here's the shadow, but this is the body. So, come here, David. Okay. Do you see? You see it? Okay. Go, drink some water. Drink some water. No, the shadow. Drink the shadow. Put your mouth there. Put your mouth there. There we go. There we go. Many people are satisfied with shadows. But the body's right here. Are you really getting something? You're getting nothing. It's just a shadow. Don't eat shadows only. Of course, we have to eat shadows. Eat Christ. You know what? These things here, these four categories of things, they all have to do with the earth's axis. A-X-I-S. And the rotation. Do you know that the rotation of the earth is all involved with Christ? Because it's by the rotation of the earth that we have these designations of hours, days, weeks, months, and years. The earth rotates to show us Christ. So that you could see some shadows to point you to this reality. Let's read these 1, 2, 3, 4. Daily, Christ is our food and drink for our satisfaction and strengthening. 2.
Weekly, Christ is our Sabbath for our completion and
resting. Amen. 3. Amen. 4. Paul mentions these four things. And this is like a zip file. It unlocks your whole life. On one hand, Christ is so extensive. He fills the whole universe. On the other hand, He wants to be wrapped up with the details of your daily life. He would like that when you wake up in the morning, and I don't know if you all have a big breakfast. I don't know if you just have a donut. But whatever it is, Christ is the reality of that. And He would like you, as you're eating that, whether you're drinking juice, whether you're drinking a power drink, whether you're drinking coffee, whatever, I don't know what they call them now. Starbucks got all these names. It's just coffee. But whatever that is, Christ would like you to go beyond the shadow. And to realize, Lord, I need You. How many of you ever said, I need my coffee? How many of you ever said this phrase? Something like, I need my coffee this morning. Okay. He would like that when you say that, I need my coffee and Lord, and Lord, I need You this morning. Some of us say, oh, don't talk to me. I haven't had my coffee yet. You should say this, Lord, don't talk to me. I haven't had my Christ yet. That there'd be a connection with your daily, how many daily things? My goodness. Let's go to B. We'll come back to all these points. B. Although Christ is universally extensive and all-inclusive, we should experience Him in our daily living and in our daily walk so that He becomes real, practical, and experiential to us. Now look at these lists of six things. Go.
Christ is our
bread. Sisters.
Christ is our drink.
Brothers.
Christ is our food.
Keep going.
Christ is our
Amen.
Amen.
Then see together. As we consider all the positive things in the universe.
We should evaluate them according to Christ.
Oh, brothers and sisters. Our daily life can be a constant fellowship with the Lord. And this can help us to see this. Can help us. You have the potential to have a running conversation with the Lord all day long through these shadows. You wake up. You know, the Lord, it says in the Bible, He is the beginning. It's in Colossians 1. He is the beginning. You can wake up and say, oh Lord Jesus, be my beginning. Be my alpha. Be my start. Then you look out, oh, the sun's there. The Bible says he's the sun. He's a light for you. Or maybe you're in a dark room. You're, you know, shades down. You turn the light on. It says he's our light. Lord, be my light. I need you. Then you go in there, take a shower. Oh, I tell you, the Bible talks about the washing of the water in the Word. Actually, before that, you need the washing of the blood. You need the cleansing. You can say, Lord, wash me. Lord, wash me. I'm coming to you, Lord. I'm getting ready. I'll be there in about 10 minutes, Lord. He could actually fill our day with all these things. Then you get dressed. It says, put on Christ. This could open up a field of experience for us that we never had before. Many of us use glasses. I have. Not all the time. But, you know, whenever you put these on, I hope you realize, Lord, to see clearly, I need you. Could you say that? I tell you, if you say that to the Lord, if the Lord reminds you, then every time you put these on, you could experience Christ. Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't it be something if every single time you put on your glasses, say, Lord, today be my sight. And then you go in front of the mirror. Ooh, whatever it is you do. And however long you spend. I want to give you a verse. Let's see. I have a few. Oh, Isaiah 60 verse 19. Isaiah, just write it down. It says, your God is your beauty. I hope as you're doing yourself up there, whatever it is you're doing, to make yourself presentable, you say, oh Lord, be my beauty. I have another list here. I made a little list to add to these six. We don't have time to develop this, so I'll just give you the list. I'll give you the verses too so that you can look at them later. The Lord's our wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1:24. Do you ever need wisdom? A way to figure things out. Oh, I don't know what to do. Lord, be my wisdom. You can pray that. 1 Corinthians 1:24. Then he's our way. John 14:6. Lord, be my way. Actually, this we can all the time. You know, when you go out these doors, you turn left. There's a way. There's always ways. There's always paths. Lord, be my way. How about this one? Joy. Psalm 43:4. God, my exceeding joy. You know, we are a people that likes to laugh. We like to enjoy. You do know that the Bible talks about that God laughs, right? Did you know? So you seem surprised. You didn't know the Bible has verses that God laughs? No, at least two. At least two. That's your assignment for tonight. Okay, look them up. There are at least two. Old Testament. It says God laughs. Actually, that's why you can laugh. Aren't you made in the image of God? Yeah. So our ability to laugh is actually part of the image of God. The problem is we laugh at a lot of things that God doesn't laugh at. We need to line up our laughs with God. You know, Chapter 5 talks about different kinds of speaking. Actually, the podcasts coming are going to talk about that. We're going to get into a lot of different categories of speech. And in those, I tell you that you have to exercise your spirit in your speech. And the Bible talks about many kinds of speech. Like, of course, lying. But it also talks about being double-tongued. You know double-tongued? Hey, Micah, how are you doing? Good to see you. Can't stand that guy. Does that happen? Do people do that? I didn't ask if you do that. I said, do people do that? No. Hey, Josh, how are you doing? Hey, nice tie. That's double tongue. Did you see that? I'd never be caught dead. Double tongue. And my point on the podcast is that then you come to the Word, you come to the meeting, you want to pray. Oh, Lord, I love you. You had just sinned. The Bible calls that sin. You have sin on your conscience. You can't exercise your spirit if you don't exercise your conscience. But anyway, my point in bringing this up is Ephesians 5 says, one of the speakings is filthy, coarse jesting. What's that? Dirty joking. Dirty jokes. You guys are together, school, somebody says something and everybody, ha! That's unsanctified laughter. I hope you remember when you laugh, right at that point, is God your joy? Something else became your joy. The Lord wants you to have joy. But He wants your joy to be made full. Real joy. Okay, more. Oh! He's our prize or our reward. This is Genesis 15:1. Well, I want to read that one to you. Genesis 15:1. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward. Some of you recently graduated. Did you get some awards? When you get the award, of course you feel, you know, a little something. But I hope you would say, Lord, you're my real award. You're my real prize. Everything can just point you back to Christ. So many daily life things. And of course, also Colossians 2:18 talks about our prize. How many of you walked up and down stairs today? Anybody walk up and down stairs? Did you take Christ as your stairs? He's our heavenly ladder. John 1:51. We talk about, Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on Canaan's tableland. A higher plane. You want a higher plane? Then He's your ladder. He's your steps. As you're going up the stairs. Or maybe, of course, some of us, we flew here. We ended up on an escalator. I hope next time you're on an escalator, you remember, Christ, you're my real escalator. I'm just in Christ. I don't do anything. I just, ooh. Or, Lord, you're my real elevator. Next time you're in an elevator, you're just there. You're not doing anything. And boom, you get off on, 10th floor. How'd you get there? You didn't do anything. You didn't, no effort. Oh, that's a real picture of Christ. Lord, I just get into you. Ooh. I'm in Christ. All these things, I tell you, you could expand your enjoyment of Christ by all the positive things around us. My chauffeur this morning was a physician. Some of you know who that is. You know, the Lord is our physician. Matthew 9:12. Next time you go to the doctor, you can actually tell him, hey, you know what? You're not the real doctor. Hey, doc, you're a shadow. Or at school, you have counselors, right? Some of them really don't know what they're doing. Actually, I found a number of them don't know what they're doing. So it's very easy to say, you know what? You're not the real counselor. But I need to know this, so tell me. Of course, that's Isaiah 9:6. He's our wonderful counselor. And tell your counselor, hey, you know what? I met a wonderful counselor. Anyway, many things. He's our hope, Colossians 3:4. He's our attorney, our advocate in 1 John 2:1. He's our friend in John 15:16. Oh, he's our teacher. Isaiah 30, verse 20. He's our teacher. Next time you go to class, see your teacher. You can think Christ. Young people, I want you to think Christ. You see something? Think Christ. Just think Christ. This could help you set your mind on your spirit. There are many reminders of Christ in our personal universe that can bring us back to Christ. This is the last one, Hebrews 2:9. He's our captain. No, I flew down here. Whenever you're on the plane, eventually the captain gets on. Says, "Hi, I'm your captain." I can say, "No, you're not." He's our captain. Brothers and sisters, we could have very many reminders of Christ, like flagging us. Like the Lord, you're just living in your day, and the Lord is, "Hello, I'm here." You see the sun, the Lord is, "Hey." You look at the waterfall, "Hey." Get some water, "Hey." You put on your clothes, "Oh." Just the Lord is like, "Oh, Lord, you're everywhere." I'm not joking. The Lord is telling us, "Hey, I'm the body of all the shadows. Look at me, I'm here, I'm around you. Why do you leave my presence? You can enjoy me in so many ways." So, what does the next verse say? Let's go to D. According to the context, the prize in Colossians 2:18 is the enjoyment of Christ as the body, shadows. To be defrauded of our prize is to be defrauded of our subjective, because, of course, that's Colossians. We're right now in Colossians 2:16-17. But then verse 18 says, "Let no one defraud you by judging you unworthy of your prize." And this is Paul's burden here. Christ is everywhere. Christ is experientiable. He's there. He's at your fingertips. He's around you, but you don't enjoy. You're defrauded. Don't you? Isn't this the conclusion? How many of us have been defrauded? I know I have. I've been defrauded. I missed him. I didn't see him. And actually, I was looking for him. I wanted him, but I didn't see him. Do you ever experience this? You go for a time, you maybe go for days. "Lord, where's your presence? Where's your..." Even we heard this morning or yesterday, some of the testimony, "Oh, I didn't have the Lord's presence. I didn't have..." But the Lord is... We've been defrauded. And one defrauding is this: judging you unworthy. Young people, you have to know the blood. You have to know the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. You have to know the efficacy of the power of the blood. Of course, you must confess specifically to know this power. But this blood opens the new and living way for us to contact the Lord. Yes, in many cases, in many ways, we're a mess. And we keep doing things. You have this experience? You sin a certain way. Then you confess. And then you do it again. And then you have trouble. Maybe you've been battling with something for 3 years, 4 years. We have these kinds of experiences. Well, I would tell you two things. Firstly, if you commit that sin 100 times, you confess 100 times. And as soon as you confess, you're qualified again. You're qualified for a share of the allotted portion. On the other hand, I would say, if there is something that you are still battling with, some sin that just gets you every time and you're not able to overcome, probably you have not entered into this enough. As you have time to fellowship with the Lord, don't just come and gas station fill up and then you go. Sometimes after confessing, you need to stay there before the Lord and give yourself to the Lord. and allow Him to speak to you. Allow His light to shine into you. As He shines into you, He will heal you of that. The overcoming power is there with you. But you've gotten up too soon. You've been too hurried. The Lord is able to heal you. The Lord is able to heal you. But this is not just confessing sin. What we're talking about is dealing with sin. And you may have to deal with something to get out of that sin. Confession may not be quite enough. Confession is the first step. But you may need to give the Lord a cooperation to get out of the environment that allows you to commit that sin over and over again. And in order to have the strength to take that step, you need more fellowship with the Lord. You need to go further. And you need to allow Him to go further in your life and in your heart. And that takes a little more time. But you are not too young for this. We experience these things even as teenagers. If you are serious with the Lord will work on you and in you and deliver you from that sin. I hope you would experience this. Don't be defrauded of your prize. Your prize is to experience Christ all the time. That's there. That's actually all of our allotment. Okay, let's continue. 2. The very Christ, who is the reality of all positive things, is the one who is the head of the body. Thus, to hold the head is simply to enjoy Christ as the reality of all positive things. Okay, open in Colossians again. In Colossians, we're looking at verses 16 through 19. Verse 16, let no one therefore judge you in eating and in drinking. So it mentions these points. If eating, drinking, feast, new moon, Sabbath. 17, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body. Now there the body is not the body of Christ, right? Brother Colley mentioned this, right? This, it's the analogy. You have the body, the physical body, and then that casts the shadow. That's the shadow, but the body is of Christ. The reality is of Christ. Then 18, let no one defraud you by judging you unworthy of your prize. Then a lot of things there. Verse 19, and not holding the head. Why all of a sudden? The head. We're not talking about the body of Christ here. But it seems like out of nowhere, Paul introduces a thought. He changes the thought from shadows, this and that, the head. What is the thought behind this writing? The thought is that the enjoyment of Christ always leads us to the body of Christ. If you enjoy the Lord, you will love the body. If you are enjoying the Lord in your daily life, your enjoyment of the Lord is increasing, then your consciousness of the body of Christ should increase. If it does not, then we have a question mark over that enjoyment. And I have seen this too. I've seen some young people, they enjoy something, and it looks like they're enjoying the Lord, but then they form a little something like within the church, but not part of the church. And their enjoyment doesn't translate into the church meeting. And actually, sometimes they even criticize the church. Our group is so living. Our group is so this. Our group is so that. And then, we go to the church. Then we question, what are you really enjoying? Because the scripture, according to the scriptures, the enjoyment of Christ leads to the body of Christ. Okay, let's read these few points. A, sisters. Amen. Brothers.
This indicates that the enjoyment of Christ is not an individualistic matter, but a body matter.
Sisters.
The more we enjoy Christ, the Amen. Brothers, be.
When we allow Christ to be the head in everything, and when we grow up into Him in all things by enjoying Him, we will be supplied with the riches of His life,
amen,
receiving from Him to transfuse Him into other members of God.
Amen. Let's read this focus all together.
The all-inclusive Christ as the reality of all bodily things is for our subjective experience. And the more we experience and enjoy Him, the more we will be brought into the subjective realization of Christ as the head of the body, which will make us conscious of God, love all the members of the body, and build up the body.
Amen. So I hope, brothers and sisters, this fellowship, this outline, this portion of the scripture could expand our realization, appreciation, and experience of Christ. Look for Christ. Think Christ. So many things around us. The Lord is flagging us down. The Lord is trying to get our attention. Many of us were in the summer training on the book of Isaiah. Did you not enjoy Isaiah 32:2? That talks about that there's a man who is what? He's a refuge from the wind. Don't you need a refuge sometimes? Isn't your life just an unexpected wind comes? And you need a place. And Christ can be that to you. Then it says what? A covering from the tempest. That means there's a storm. Did you ever, it suddenly breaks out, raining, and then you run, and you're under something. And usually like this. Did you ever think Christ? Say, Lord, you're my refuge, and you're my covering. And then what? He's the streams in a dry place. And then, I love this. He's what? The shadow of a massive rock. Oh, the Bible's wonderful. It could just say a rock. But the Lord decided to throw the massive word in there. It just adds so much. He's like a massive rock in a wasted land, which in the outline it mentioned, it's like our air conditioner. You know, these days we really value the air conditioning. I hope when you walk the rest of the week, when you walk into this building, you'll thank Christ. You go, oh, amen. Up till now, we usually just thank Christ. How about to close? You have plenty of time for speaking tonight. Okay, but to close, let us sing hymn number 510. 510. Amen. You know? Okay. If you notice here, of course it's a long song, but the verses are very short, and we'll sing in this particular way. Okay? The first verse and the last two verses we'll sing together. But verse 2, we want you to stand and sing. Verse 3, you. Verse 4, you. And we'll just go around, okay? The first verse, we'll sing together. Then you sing 2, 3, 4, and around. The last two verses, we'll all rise and sing together. But please notice here how many times it says, my Christ. My Christ. I hope that as you're singing, you could really appropriate this song for yourself and pray this for yourself. Lord, I want you to be this to me and this, my Christ, my Christ, my Christ. Amen? Amen. Okay, let's...